Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Heading outdoors in South Dakota is a time-honored tradition and not limited by the current times we live in. Kevin Wooster has been heading outdoor for decades with one special friend, and he writes about it on his blog. On the other hand, he joins us now on the phone. Hey, Kevin, welcome.
Oh, it's great to be back, and always during this rugged, rough presidential transition, I like to find something that can keep my mind off things, and Mosey does a pretty good job of that, so we get out and about as much as we can.
I've never met Rosie, and I just love her as a dog lover myself. And tell me a little bit about Rosie. The age is catching up with her just a little bit, but she's not giving up the hunt yet.
Oh no, it's costing me a lot of money to keep her hunting. But as I look out the window here, I can see out onto the street, and I can see basically the location where she was about a year old. She got hit by a passing car, and I thought she was dead. She lay in the street. She flew up into the air and landed, not moving. And the woman that hit her, a neighbor up the street a ways, and I stood above her weeping, both of us, and me telling this woman that was okay. She didn't know. And Rosie runs, you know, you turn your back on her, she would take off, and she still would, without the arthritis maybe. And then her eye opened and she rolled over and looked around, and I carried her back and took her to the vet, and there was nothing broken. But they think probably part of her arthritis started with that, with her wild abandon escape mechanisms that one day caught her, you know, at the front end of the car. And also just the way she attacks cover in any time. I can't throw a dummy to retrieve for too much because she chases it so hard and hits it and smashes into things and flips over, and she attacks every plum thicket that way. And even if she's chasing bunnies or squirrels or whatever, I say in the column that she's lived life for 9.5+ years with reckless abandon, and it's starting to catch up with her in swollen joints.
She has not lived with hesitation.
I've done a little of that myself.
Yeah. So how do you, you know, you joked about spending a lot of money, but how do you sort of help her keep doing what she loves to do and what you love to do too? What, you get a little massage or what? How do you keep a dog in that kind of shape?
I'm not a dog masseuse, but I do try and control. As I write in the story, she won't even settle down in the backyard. If the sun is out and there are bird shadows crossing, she'll chase shadows in the backyard all day long. Take a break once in a while to snuffle up a garter snake and chase that around, or a mouse or whatever. She stays busy. And so I try to keep her rested as much as I can, and sometimes I have to lock her in the kennel just to make her settle down in the backyard a little bit, or put her in the house in the living room floor and let her sleep the hallway most of the day. But also spend quite a bit of money on arthritis pills, similar to the kind, you know, with chondroitin and other kinds of fish oil and green tea extract. And then we have the dog anti-inflammatories that I give her on days of hunts. And, you know, the last time we took her to the vet, it was $675 for various things and
right.
x-rays
yeah.
to check on the knee and all this kind of stuff. And that's not a one-time deal. You know, it happens. And then I try to also limit her hunting now at a stage where she really can't hunt every day. And so, you know, instead of 3 days of hunting where I might have before if the weather was good, I have to space that out a little bit and let her rest in between. Not that she would. Because if I took her out every day, she'd hunt as hard as she could, and that would, you know, and she'd limp even more at the end of the day, probably.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, my dog would just go until she fell over, literally.
Yeah.
I take her for a walk, and she fell over sideways, and that was the first time I really realized. I mean, I knew she was, you know, aging and having some problems, but that's, yeah, she didn't have a stop button. That said, I'm going to go, I mean, I'll go sit on the couch if I'm a little bit tired, Kevin. Got to rest up for the afternoon. Pippin was not like that. She would just like, we're going to hit the next thing. And yeah, literally fell over. I had to catch her off to the side. So they need us as much as we need them, don't they?
they really do. And you know, she's now, and I bought a newer pickup, a bigger pickup with a higher tailgate, and she absolutely cannot jump into that tailgate anymore. So I've had to lift her into that, and in doing that a couple weeks ago, she twisted at a certain time, and I hurt my back. So I can't lift her into it anymore. I'm in the market for a ramp, and but in the meantime, I try and find places when we go out that I can back up to a mound or a road ditch type angle, and so she can get easily in and out without me having to lift her. And on a day off, when I left her, but I wanted to hunt, but I didn't feel like I should hunt her, I went duck hunting and fell down while I was carrying the dozen decoys I've carried for so many years and other stuff in my back, and hurt my knee. So now Rosie and I walk almost exactly alike, with my back and my knee and her arthritis. But we're still aiming for a hunt tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about that, because there's so much news and things to worry about, and big, you know, fears and doubts and anxieties. And then there is, you know, the South Dakota sunset and Kevin Wooster with decoys slung over him and Rosie by his side. What does this do? I mean, like, how important is it to you and so many other South Dakotans, myself included, to get out outside into this space, into this landscape, and just be in that space for as long as possible?
Well, it helps me find another being, you know, the being that I may not be living like in some of these tense situations, or these watching the transition on cable, or reading about it, or listening about it on public radio. You get out there, and like fly fishing for me, when I put Rosie in cover and she starts to do that magic thing with that brilliant nose that she has, and I'm just following her, I'm just saying, you take me and teach me and let's do it. I don't think about anything but that and what she's doing. And the things that she teaches me along the way is she tries to unravel these complicated scent trails. I mean, just imagine what a dog like that is doing. All the possum scent and raccoon scent and dead deer scent and all the stuff that's coming at it. And it's going through all that. It's sorting through all that to stay with that individual pheasant scent that we might track for 300 or 400 yards, these smart public land rooster pheasants that get hunted every day of the season. And she's got to unravel all that. And I try and follow her. And we limp. She doesn't limp at all when she's hunting, as you can imagine. I mean, as the vet says, these dogs, especially these working dogs, these very athletic dogs, are like athletes on a football field or whatever. When they're doing their thing, there's no pain, there's no stiffness. They just do their thing. It's after they stop that they can hardly walk. And so that's a complete loss of negative energy and a complete engagement with the outdoors that I haven't found in very many ways like that.
Yeah. She knows what you're going to do next, too, doesn't she? I bet.
She does.
She knows you as much as you know her. Yeah.
We are a team that, as I say, and you know, I say in there that it's kind of a cross species thing. You have this one consciousness that is not really a thought consciousness; it's an instinct consciousness. And I'm trying to adjust to where I think she's going based on what I see, and she's looking back at me most of the time. Occasionally, if I'm too slow, she says, "I think I'm going to go hunt by myself a little bit here. I'll get back to you in a minute."
Right.
Because even hobbled, she can move a heck of a lot faster than I can.
Right.
And it's, there is a teamwork here that the word teamwork doesn't really cover, because it's so much more than that, I think.
Yeah. When I used to just walk Pippet, you know, in the city, she was doing this thing forever where she would stop and look back at me and pause. And I was just, it just was new. And I was like, well, I don't understand what this is. And then one, I just paid close attention to it. And I realized that every time she walked over ice, she would stop and make sure that I saw the ice or that I had somehow, like, she knew, like, this is going to, she's going to fall. So I realized that she was warning me, and I didn't train her to do that. She just figured out somehow through walking with me that that was a service that I needed. And suddenly, she knew exactly. Don't fall. Here it is. Did you see that? It's coming. Just remarkable dogs.
Well, and I have to admit, you've heard of things called stimulator collars, and this would cause some concern among some dog owners. Rosie's had one. She probably wouldn't still be my dog if they weren't in existence. I never used one for any of my other springers. I used whistles. She's too strong-willed. She's too stubborn. She's too athletically aggressive. And I don't, shocker, it's rare when I ever have to use the actual shock. I beep her. And it's a reminder. She gets out, the collar beeps. She's going too far. She's going to get way out. I beep her, and she goes, oh, yeah, he's back there. I almost forgot. And and so that's the way it works. And I beep her a lot, especially when there's quite a bit of bird sent around, because she wants to range out farther than she should. So, yeah. You know, it's not a perfect union. There are very few perfect unions in the world, even marriages. And that sort of hunting marriage that she and I have occasionally, there are certain things that we both have to remind ourselves of.
Yeah. Not robots, independent creatures. Yeah. Well, you can read more of Kevin Wooster's work on our website, sdpb.org/Wooster. And Kevin, for me, just being nose deep in, research and work, so often every time I get a text or I see a tweet from you that has a picture of of where you're at, I always set down what I'm doing and I go outside, and it's a wonderful reminder. So let this be a reminder to listeners too. There is an outdoors. It is lovely, and it is inviting you. Thank you.
It's there waiting.
It's there waiting. Thanks, Kevin.
You bet.